Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Westworld is back and it's less... Start again. Westworld is back, but it's less Westworld than ever. It's Future World. We'll get to that in a minute.
Or as they call it, regular world we live in. Yes. God, it sure is a great day in regular world we live in. Ah, killer robot!
That's regular though.
Yeah, that's pretty regular.
We're used to it.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're talking about West...
Wouldn't change it for the world. West World.
We're not in that anymore.
No.
Though. It's impressive.
Yep.
We are, though, of course, talking about Westworld, the original movie from 1973.
Yeah.
Much requested because we put a poll up on Patreon.
Requested.
That's right. Very good.
Thank you.
To see whether people wanted to see this. Yeah, turns out they did.
There you go. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Probably a bunch of people all watching it together, I'd imagine.
No doubt.
I'd never seen this movie
Me
before.
Neither. Also, if you could leave a like on this video, that would be great because I'm about to set the scene for Westworld 1973. I want you to imagine the future.
Oh.
Of 1983 when this movie is set. Oh my God.
Right?
You can go to a cowboy theme park for $1,000 a day.
Well, that's a bargain.
It seems to be, right?
Right? Pretty good.
In 83, I looked it up, comparable to like $4,000 a day today.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
But it's doable.
Isn't it? In the TV series, I think it's like 100 grand a day or something like
that.
Yeah,
right.
So.
Well, that's in the future, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or as we call it, the future.
Still in the future, isn't it?
For us.
As far as we know.
Yeah, that's right. So if you've seen the show, it's the same premise because they've got different worlds. In this, they've got Roman world, medieval world also. Guns also don't work on humans until they do. But really, Westworld is just about just old dudes banging robots.
100%. 100%.
The intro of this movie
is so boring.
It's so boring.
It's a bad start because it's just... There's some good stuff later, and I want to talk about some good stuff later. But it opens on just... an ad for Westworld, but it's not even, look at the thrilling things you can do in Westworld. It's a boring wooden man asking people who've been to Westworld what they did at Westworld.
Yeah.
It's just a guy standing with a microphone going, hello, what is your name and what have you done at Westworld? And they're like, my name's John and I'm an accountant and I married a princess in Westworld.
Mm.
Can we see that? No.
Definitely not.
Absolutely
not.
I did
some terrible things.
Yeah.
Even though there's cameras on everyone all the time in this universe, apparently.
I don't care because I'm rich. I've got $1,000 a day.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about this version of Westworld?
Yes.
It's kind of pre the video game boom.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like the appeal of this, like a theme park where you can do anything and there's no laws and you're the king there and you can basically do whatever you want.
You can be the sheriff or you can kill the sheriff.
It doesn't
You can rob a bank or you can stop the bank robbers.
You can be the bank.
Oh my God.
That's right.
Come get your money, fellas.
Now with the, in the future, or as we call it, the present, with amazing TV shows and video games and also theme parks and stuff, I don't even know if I'd go to this.
Right?
You know?
Now imagine how they feel.
I've been to Sovereign Hill.
Yeah. Now imagine
There's
how
There's a local reference.
Right. Now imagine how they feel in the future, or as they call it, the regular world. They'd have so many great video games.
Absolutely they would.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about this movie, though?
Mm-hmm.
It is the creation of Michael Crichton, who also directs.
And, of course, people will know that he wrote the original novel of Jurassic Park.
That's right.
So I guess his vibe is create a world, like an amazing world, and just imagine all the fantastic things you can do in it, but not so much a plot. He's not a plot guy.
Sure. It's a lot of. I know his books are a lot about exploring technology and the ramifications of.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park is a lot of, like, look at these different genomes. The book I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
right. You know? Exactly. Because this movie is a brisk 88 minutes. And I would say the plot doesn't really kick in until about an hour.
You mean when the robots start killing people?
Yes.
It's a very... There's a lot of dicking about up until that point.
But that's the thing. It's a lot of... Okay, so I want to. One of the things I enjoyed about this is the two leads.
Yes.
So it's James Brolin, who is Thanos' dad, obviously.
Of course.
And then I think his name's Richard Benjamin?
Yeah.
Who is an actor, and I think he's directed some movies since then.
Right, okay.
But I feel like these guys have a great chemistry.
Yeah.
You've got James Brolin, he's like a beautiful golden boy, and then you've got Richard Benjamin, he's this kind of like, he's big old mustachioed man. These two are like the quintessential 1970s dudes. Like, you could tell me that they're any famous 1970s duo, and I would believe you. You could be like, it's Starsky and Hutch, it's the Captain and Tennille. It's all three Charlie's Angels. I'd be like, sure it is. Why not?
It's some of Gilligan's Island.
But they're just, it's just them like messing about and kind of like, hey, let's.
But I think that's appealing then.
It is.
Because it didn't exist in any form.
Yeah, right.
So I think for people then, seeing all these Western shows that they grew up with, being able to live that with
them,
no
yeah.
consequences,
yeah.
that's mind blowing. Now it's like, who gives a
get
shit?
Get to the point.
We've got Grand Theft Auto and the one with horses. Whatever, Grand Theft Horses.
That's right.
Yeah.
This movie, pretty much it's the first episode of the TV series. It's two guys going into Westworld.
Yep.
One of them's been there before, one's never been in
they
there.
They take a long time to get into that Westworld.
And they kind of learn about Westworld. But this movie has like less plot than one episode of the TV series.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Someone argued the TV series has too much plot going on at any one time.
Oh my God, who's even responsible for what's happening in Westworld?
Who
this
is or isn't a robot and does it matter?
It does not matter. But I liked in this one in the TV series, like they're about to enter Westworld and they go in. They're ushered in, and there's this, you know, endless row of like these beautiful costumes they can wear, and hats and,
yes.
and weapons, and like you craft your personality. You can be the hero or villain, or you know, whoever you want
to
be.
It's like creating a video game avatar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in this one, it's just like, yeah, go into that white room, and there's some like a couple of drawers and some shelves, get an old pair of jeans.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's only $1,000 a day, though, isn't it? What do you expect?
You get to pick your own shaving brush, though.
That's very
true.
Nice
touch, you know?
Yeah, it's a nice
I think they just got all the extras clothes and just put them in a pile, and was like, yeah. Take some of that.
I love the jaunty number that plays as they're putting on their clothes.
Uh-huh.
Incredible.
Mm.
And I also love, I think it's supposed to be a hovercraft flying in over Westworld. And you look out the window and that thing is just bouncing up and down like a basketball, mate. Because it's that rear projection situation, obviously.
Uh-huh.
It's absolute insanity on that ship. The robots I find really interesting, especially for the time. You can tell by their hands whether or not they're robots. They're looking at them when they haven't done that makeup. They've obviously just got regular human hands and they didn't really do anything to it. The idea behind the eyes is they have light reflecting contact. So that's why you can see that shimmer that comes off
it. I see.
Also, they appear to spill paint when you shoot them, but also the people do as well, it would seem. It's a lot of squib action in this.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. Again, it's a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene in this, I think it might be not in the theatrical version, but it's in some other versions, but it's basically all these scientists talking about why the robots are going wild.
Yeah.
And one of them's like, yeah, it's some of these computers were built by other computers, so we don't really understand how they work. And I'm like, that's really interesting.
They've got some kind of computer disease.
That's right. A disease, if you will, and hear me out, of the computer. Why, this is madness.
Yeah, apparently, though, Michael Crichton was kind of confused by the response to the making of this. He said he was intimidated by the audience reaction because it was enjoyed. People liked it, but he said...
Enough to warrant a sequel and a TV series
and then another
TV series.
Exactly. He said the laughs are in the wrong places and there's extreme tension where I hadn't planned it. So he felt the reaction and the picture for him was out of control. I presume the bit that he's talking about where people laughed in the wrong place is that snake bite where he's flailing about.
So James Brolin's character, he learns that the stuff is not going wrong in the park when a snake, which is not supposed to bite, but they're supposed to attack people but always miss.
Yeah.
But it gets him in the arm and he just flails around wildly.
From different angles.
For a good 30 seconds, yeah.
What I also love about that is they run out of town and go, man, we're loving this Westworld. We're $1,000 a day in. Let's just sit on these rocks in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, but they get to smoke.
They do get to smoke.
That's pretty good, right?
It was 1983. You could still smoke anywhere and everywhere. Yeah. I just need to say this. James Brolin looks fucking exactly like Christian Bale. It's frightening.
Right?
If you were like, that's Christian Bale's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starsky or Hutch.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Like,
yeah, of course it is.
He's less Josh Brolin than he is Christian Bale, I feel. Mm. Anyway, that's just something I feel. The other thing, I guess, is we haven't touched on yet is Yul Brynner's role in this movie.
Yeah, right.
He was hot off the back of a number of huge roles over the decades, The King and I, The Magnificent Seven, obviously. And the reason I bring that up is because the character from this is dressed nearly exactly as the same as his character from that movie.
Yes, uh-huh.
I do wonder whether within this universe, Yul Brynner actually exists and they took his likeness for this movie. Uh-huh. Or his face. They just took it right off him.
Maybe the most valuable part of that gunslinger unit is his face, because it is removable.
It certainly is. Not a bad effect either. There's a nice little cowboy switch. No pun intended. You know, when the scientist moves in front of him and then they pull back and the body double. But apparently at the time, in the 1970s, Yul Brynner was suffering... That's right, for us, not the people at the time.
No, that was the president. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He was suffering financial difficulties and he was in desperate need of money. And with no other movie in the work or offer coming his way, he took the price of $75,000
for
this movie, which is, I mean, it's still a hell of a lot of money for that time.
Yes.
Someone gave me $75,000 now. They're like, well, I'm done for the year, aren't I? Right, I'm just going to shut down.
Yeah. But how many estranged wives, ex-wives do you have?
That's a good point. And I think he was married 3 times. Uh-huh. I did look into that. But $75,000, that can get you 75 days in Westworld, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
I can be bitten by so many snakes.
Exactly.
Should we talk about the plot?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In the sense that there isn't one.
Yes.
But I couldn't believe it was Josh Brolin who dies in this. James Brolin. Whatever. Christian Bale. I can't believe he was the one, because he's kind of the cool, handsome one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
That's what I liked about it, though. Yeah, I thought that was good.
But I feel like that's kind of prototypical horror movie, is the one you don't... If it's a cool, hunky, muscly man who's lived, goes, you know, survives to the end, and he's the one survivor, and he's facing the killer robot, you go... You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But what you want is you want little mustachioed man.
Yeah, to pull through. It's like when Chris Hemsworth crashed into that force field in Cabin
in
the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods,
like, Chris Hemsworth's got this. He doesn't. He's dead.
And there's
like Draculas and shit running about.
That being said, though, I feel like maybe there should have been a third...
Party?
A third party in this, like another guest.
Well, there's like...
Because towards the end, it's just this one guy. He's not talking to anyone. No. He's just running about.
I guess what they do there, they supplement that by having the adventures of some guy we don't care about
in a
castle.
And guy fixing a Jeep.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I think, though, the chase between Yul Brynner's character and Mr. Mustache...
Yes.
It's got some great moments of tension. Mm-hmm. apparently not on purpose.
Okay, right.
But it's very laborious for a lot of it, I feel. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, because Michael Crichton felt also that the things that people took from this movie were the wrong thing. Like, people remembered the killer robots.
Oh, yes.
But the purpose of this story is bureaucracy and corporations running amok and just being, you know, despite machines building machines and snakes biting people when they shouldn't, they decide not to shut it down.
That's also a very Jurassic Park kind
exactly,
of
yeah.
But that being, but I think it's much better portrayed in Jurassic Park. I didn't get that at all from this. Because even in this movie...
You just remember the robots, right?
I just remember the robot, but also the scientists are like, this seems like a problem, we should shut it down. They're not like, but we're making so much money, let's not shut it down.
They really lean into that more in Jurassic Park, don't they?
And they lean into it very heavily in the new Westworld.
Yes, absolutely.
But in this one, I feel like... But I guess maybe corporate responsibility was a little different in the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually got a recurring segment of the show. People know this. It's trivia related. It's called Pave the Way, That's What I Say. And that's when we talk about things from this movie in particular that pave the way for future things.
Oh, like we do every week.
Like we do every
Incredible.
Week.
Incredible. Let's do it.
We've mentioned the obvious parallels to Jurassic Park.
And I think lessons learned from this probably. But also I think maybe Michael Crichton, who builds his worlds, needed a hand of like a Steven Spielberg to be like, okay, here's how you establish a world in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Now action. Now...
I have a giant pile of shit in my film. Right. Your film did not have that, and which is better.
Exactly, that's right.
If we're honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was also the first film with CGI.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which bit? The CGI vision?
The vision, exactly.
The robot vision?
And I'm not talking about like monitor graphics in movies, which you also saw. Yeah, so apparently it took 8 hours to produce each 10 seconds of footage from the gunslinger's pixelated point of view. Oh. I just presumed that was some kind of filter they put over it or something.
Like a colander maybe.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
in front of the lens.
Because you know how you look through a kaleidoscope, I just figured it was some kind of lens kind of distortion going on there, but actually computer generated.
And people in the 70s would have assumed that because they love kaleidoscopes back in the day. They're my God, any kind of entertainment, please.
That was like their Game Boy because they were in the past. To them, it was the present.
That's right.
Game Boys were kaleidoscopes.
Mm.
Yeah. And probably yo-yos and probably...
Wait, yo-yos were kaleidoscopes?
Yes.
Wow.
That's right. And punching people was what you did. You just punched people. Friends, family, didn't matter, did it?
That's right. That was primetime TV, baby.
The other thing is John Carpenter...
But the old Brady Bunch. Brady Punch.
Very good. The other thing is John Carpenter based the indestructible nature of the killer Michael Myers off Yul Brynner.
Oh, there you go.
Similarly, Arnold Schwarzenegger used Brynner's performance as the basis for his role in The Terminator. And there is obvious parallels there because also you got the Vision. They're both robots, obviously.
That's right.
Arnold was also going to do a remake in the early 2000s before he became governor. The idea was bring this back. And this hasn't been... mention anywhere, but I feel like the heat vision distortion, that's the Predator, right? They've taken that from the Predator. Or the Predator, sorry, took that from this.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I'm
but
guessing.
But in Predator, they were like, what if it worked? You know, what if he could see things?
What if he could see things?
What if he wasn't distracted by torches and...
Oh, my goodness.
Just warm baths and such, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
What a thing that doesn't I don't quite buy in this is apparently in this universe in Westworld you get accosted by this gunslinger every day. Like you shoot him to death.
I think some people are.
But then he keeps coming back. You'd be like, this has broken the reality of this.
Exactly. Because
make it a different guy.
You're absolutely right, because it is supposed to be the reality of it should never be shattered.
Yeah.
Even though they just bring in people in hazmat suits every night to pick up the bodies. And
but everybody's
the bar.
In bed. That's it. Also another little difference.
No one's going to bed. It was the 70s, I guess.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
So then another little difference between this and the TV series, the new TV series, is in the TV series, Westworld is happening. Just nonstop.
Yeah.
But in this, it seems to be like midnight till 6, switching it off. Everybody's going nigh-nigh in this.
Go to bed or you're a communist.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. But yeah, you're right. 100%. There'd be everybody would be having a bender. They'd be like, I'm here for a week, 7-day bender. Here we go.
Absolutely.
Another scene that I enjoyed, there's a scene where there's a bar fight happening behind the two main guys and they're just like chilling. That's a good scene.
Yeah. Well, I guess because you would, because it doesn't really matter, does it?
Right.
Yeah, apparently this also leaned into a lot of the Western tropes on purpose.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I feel like some of them come across at this point as like a bit laborious because we've seen them a million times before and a million times after. Mm-hmm. But I like that these characters enjoy kind of being in these scenarios, I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing is, this is a big hit. It was made for $1.2 million.
That's not a lot of money.
That's
not a lot of money.
But it made 10, which sounds
ridiculous. I deliberately mumbled that, so maybe it was a lot of money in the 70s. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a little bit of money.
A little bit of money.
Yeah, so, but it made $10 million, which sounds ridiculous nowadays.
Uh-huh, but that's a big return.
That's right. That's the present, though, for you, isn't it?
That's right.
Unless you're watching this in the future, in which case this is the past. Mm. Also,
in the 70s,
fuck off if you're from the future. We don't want you here.
Yeah, right.
You know things that we don't, and we hate that.
Yeah, tell us all the things.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Leave it in the comments. This also made huge money in home rentals, because that was just kind of taking off at the time.
And I remember that VHS cover with that Yul Brynner face coming off.
That's
right. Never rented it, but could have.
Any day you could have.
Right? Could have, exactly. When, you know, new episodes of Biker Mice from Mars were getting a bit thin on the ground, maybe I'd rent that. Probably not, though.
Probably not. Michael Crichton also, he re-edited the first cut of this movie because he found it long and boring. There's a bunch of deleted scenes. Can you imagine this being
like more boring? Stuff than,
yeah, I really love hate on this.
Yeah,
because
right?
there's so much I like. But there was a bank robbery. There was a sales room.
Which we don't see.
No.
In the version I saw anyway, it's like, man, we could have been involved in that bank robbery. And they're like, nah, don't worry about it. We got stuff to do.
There was a sales room sequence. The hovercraft flying over the desert, they took that out because apparently the effect wasn't very good. There was additional and longer dialogue. There were more scenes of robots going crazy and killing guests.
Come on, give us more of those.
Including a scene where a guest is tied to a rack and killed when his arms are pulled off.
No.
There's a longer chase scene with the gunslinger. The gunslinger is cleaning his face with water after the acid situation.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a bunch of stuff that was not put in, which I think this film benefits from taking it out. That being said, I would have put all the murders in.
Right? Keep the murders in.
Keep all the murders in.
Have everybody's arms get torn off.
That's right.
That's what happens after you leave. And that would be intriguing because right at the start of the movie, the guy would be interviewing people and be like, how did you enjoy your time at Westworld? And the guy'd show up with no arms and be like, I loved it. I loved Westworld.
Of course, there is a sequel. You mentioned it. It's called Future World, set 3 years later. What is it? I have no idea.
Set in the future, though, isn't it?
Set in the future.
But do they call it Present World in the movie?
Oh, God.
Are they like, okay, today we're all going to enter Future World, but while you're in there to maintain the illusion, you have to call it Present Day World? None of this Future World
nonsense.
Don't
spin out any of those robots, all right?
That's right.
Yeah. Of course, also, there was a 1980s short-lived series.
Beyond Westworld?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
And then from that, we get the modern reboot. Though, really, it could also be a continuation because there is hints towards this movie, including you see the gunslinger in the background of some shots.
Oh.
At one point. So I do wonder whether in the alternate world where Westworld is set.
Yeah.
In 1983, there were robot snakes and Yul Brynner's
running. Yeah, right. Yeah. And they hushed it up.
They hushed it up. Exactly. Anyway, this has been Westworld. What do you think? Is it good?
No.
I mean, it's nearly 50 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
It?
Yeah. Look, I'm seeing it through the lens of the future, or as I call it, the present.
Yes.
And I'm like, it does seem kind of hokey, but again, that's what it's supposed to. It was supposed to feel a little like a hokey old timey Western.
10-minute short film, I feel. Right? You can edit this down to something very watchable.
Yeah.
But if you do want us to come back to Future World, let us know. Also, of course, we do our Patreon polls if you want to vote on things which we discuss every week. And if you do want to know what's coming up next week, guess what? Here's a hint. It's Milan, Mason.
Oh, we just did that. We recorded it earlier. We recorded the movies out of order.
Because we're in the future?
We're in the future.
I've lost track of where we are.
But when this comes out, we'll be in the past.
That's right.
But that version of us will be in the future.
That's right.
That's us living our lives.
And the people watching it will be in their present,
yes.
Which they may call the future.
Mm.
They can't call it that because it will be their present.
That's true.
Also, of course, we have a podcast where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. We talk the news of the week. We do a topic. We will talk about Westworld when the season wraps up or just during. Comes out every Monday
morning. Depends how intriguing it is.
Absolutely.
And how confused it is.
Yeah.
How confused we are.
Absolutely. That is also the case. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Thanks for stopping by and subscribe if you want.
Thank you. Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Which you call the future.
But at the time.
Okay, sorry. It'll be the present for them
when
they come
back. Yeah.
I think we nailed it, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes I wish we'd lived in simpler times.
Sure.
You know, just being attacked by snakes and such.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.